Wave your hands and say, I. Say, I. Say, I. Say, I know. I know. I know he's all right. Shut up. He's all right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, lift him up. Raise your praise. Hallelujah. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make her boast in the Lord, and the armor shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, come on, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
I want to pick up where we left off on last Wednesday, and we're studying in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, and we went through verses 1 through 5 on last Wednesday, and I want to pick up at verse 6 on this Wednesday. Now, this should certainly not be an unfamiliar scripture to those of us who attend Bible study, and especially the noon Bible study, because in the introduction, the scripture is used. And I want us to say it together, if you don't mind, so that we can all be on one accord. All right, have you found it? All right, amen. Well, let's begin reading. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now, this is an interesting word, because Paul moves the focus, as you look from the first through the fifth verse, from the general public or general body, and then he more specifically calls to the consciousness and I guess the responsibility more personal to those who have actually gained understanding, have gained knowledge, who have gained wisdom, and have operated in such a way that through the word that they've learned, their lives have been bettered. They have learned how to practice the principles for profit, meaning they know that what God says, he means, and when they do it the way God said to do it, that they have every expectation that God is going to honor his word, and that when they trust God to do what God said, that they can go into that word and do their part and hold God responsible and accountable for his part. And so that's knowing how to go in, to come out. That's knowing how to operate in the principles. Because here is the truth. Because God is no respecter of persons, and because God honors those who honor him, then when we learn the principles of God's word, God takes particular joy in blessing us because we honor what he honors the most. And his word he honors above all things. And that's why it's so important to know that he says, through his word, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot or tittle of my word shall ever pass away. Now that speaks volumes about how God feels about his word. So now, excuse me, Paul is teaching the church, the believers, the body of Christ, an important principle concerning those who are taught in the word. All right? Let him, I notice it doesn't say let them, but it personalizes it and says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now, if you read various versions, NIV, Amplified, ESV, on and on and on, to make it simple and plain, they literally say, those who are instructed in the word, and meaning those who receive instructions and know how to operate in those instructions and profit instructions should share, communicate. That word communicate actually talks about commune. It talks about communion, and it talks about communicate. So it literally talks about the ability to be in union with one another. It talks about the ability to have fellowship with one another, and then it talks about partaking with one another. So it carries the idea and the connotation of those who have been blessed spiritually with a word that has increased their lives and the quality of their lives, and along with that have the expectation of eternal life because of the principles of God's word, they ought to share, communicate in all good things. Now, again, the early church shared all things common. Those who were blessed couldn't stand to see those who were unblessed or not blessed to the level that they were not having things. So they had all things common. If I have, you have. If you have, I have. And so it was a sharing mentality. It was us looking out for one another, especially verse 10 says, having opportunity for those to do good to all men, especially them who are of the household of faith, meaning who are brothers and sisters and who are believers in the house of God or in the church of God. So now when you begin to look at this and understand this, because there are some interesting things that I think is so important, because the church many times have misunderstood the scripture. Preachers have been leery about teaching this, because first thing people say, all he wanted is money. Are you just talking about money, this, that, and the other? Let me help you understand some principle of truth. People can't know if they're not taught. And they can't do what they don't know. So in order for there to be a change, first they've got to know it before they can do it. Now let me draw from my own experience. In my first church, I was called to a little rural church. I was elected by 69 members of that church. And I went into that church and I taught them my role as pastor to the congregation. I taught them my role as the pastor of the church. I taught them their role to the community. I taught them their role to the church. I taught them their role, especially to Christ. But what I didn't teach them was their role to me. And I wondered, where was the disconnect? What was the missing link? Because our church grew exponentially. We did all kinds of wonderful things. We purchased acres of land to build a new church and all of that, because we were overcrowded in our church. God just blessed and all of that. But they never saw fit to take care of the pastor in like fashion. And here was my erroneous thinking. Well, they're going to see what it was when I came here and see what it is now. And I had this concept. If I have to ask them for a raise, well, I just won't get one. Well, let me tell you, I didn't ask them for a raise. Y'all over there. And I didn't get one because, listen, the only thing I was given was a $275 housing allowance that was added a year later. But then we registered with IRS and that following year. And so we became compliant with IRS. So then they started taking out money out of my check. So then the money they gave me was almost taken out when they started taking taxes out. And I said, nah. I said, well, certainly they're going to see that as well and make some compensating difference. Well, here is the thing. They were never taught to do that. And this is what I've learned. People can love you, absolutely adore you, appreciate your teaching and your ministry and all that God does through you to bless them. And never once does it occur to them that there is a responsibility on their part more than once or twice a year, either on your birthday or on your anniversary, or in the case of National Pastors Appreciation Day, show some love. They figure those two times a month are the times we show love, when they are blessed constantly by the teaching of the word, by the ministering of the word. They come down and out. They come hurting. They come looking for an answer. They come looking for deliverance. They come looking for this. And God speaks through the man or the woman of God and give them a word, lighten their load, bless their lives, show them how to go in, come out, show them how to deal with issues and circumstances, show them how to walk in victory, show them how to walk in authority. And this is week in and week out and week in, and bless them and bless them. And never once do they say, let me treat Pastor to a lunch. Let me just put $5. It may not always be $50, $100, $25. Let me just put something here just to let them know. Pastor, get you a Coke and have a smile. And then you look at some churches, and man, preacher start preaching. Minute he start ministering to them, they jump up and run, go put money in his hand. Go put money on the altar. They go. I say, why they don't do that in my church? I know I'm teaching the word and preaching the word and ministering, but I know The problem is, and I knew what it was then, that I didn't teach my people like those pastors taught their people. Now notice what the responsibility is. Now you can set up in here, if I don't bless you, you won't have a right to bless me. Did you hear what I just said? Let him that is taught, you're sitting up here, but if you don't learn nothing from me, then you don't have a responsibility to bless me because I've not done anything for you. I've not helped you. I've not inspired you. I've not encouraged you. I've not done anything to increase your spirituality. So why would you give to me for doing nothing for you? Are y'all hearing me today? See, it works both ways. Let him that is taught. Now, that separates him from those who are taught from those who are not taught. Because those who are not taught say, well, give him what? For what? I ain't got nothing out of that, huh? I was waiting till he heard I'm finished. I've been sitting here long and I'm ready to go. While one person on the side of them be like, oh my God, thank you, Jesus. What a revelation, what a blessing. Lord, this is an answer to my prayer. That person has a personal responsibility to sow into the life of that teacher that has imparted that knowledge with the understanding that my blessed state is due in part, or that I am anticipating the blessings. And when it comes that I'm going to bless this person because of what they have sown into my life. Listen at this. They are sowing spiritual seeds that will yield spiritual harvest. It says, listen, you can't do for yourself what I can do for you. Because I've been called, anointed, and appointed to do that for you. That's my calling, my vocation. That's my job. So quite naturally, here's the thing. If I am the teacher, that means several things. One, I've got to prepare myself. To prepare myself doesn't mean just reading the Bible. Preparing myself means I have got to search the scriptures. That means I have got to understand the scriptures. That means I have got to exegete the scripture. That means to dig into it and to find the root meanings and the deeper meanings underneath the skin or the surface of the scripture itself. I have got to go in and be able to understand customs and manners and times in which this word was presented and how it was meant in that day and time. I've got to have resource materials to be able to reference, to be able to go back and to research and to find and to dig and to see how that makes sense then, and be able to interpret that for today's time and how that makes sense now. Because everything in the Bible is of antiquity. It's of olden days. It's of days of old and times past. So unless you know the history, unless you know the customs, unless you know the times, you take that was written then with a different understanding from that is meant now, and you get a messed up meaning unless you can put it in its proper context. So that means it takes time, it takes research, it takes meditation, it takes preparation, it takes, are y'all listening to me? So when I come to you and I speak to you, I know what I'm talking about. And when God, through his spirit, gives me revelation on the word, I can now speak to you, minister to you, preach to you with revelation on the text that you couldn't begin to get because you don't have the resources, nor do you have the anointing to receive the spiritual revelation that God has. So the Bible says, listen, how can they hear without a preacher? You see, and I ain't talking about them preachers that got up and went. I'm talking about the preachers that were sent. Those are the ones who are going to have the key. to unfolding and unlocking the scriptures. And so when you recognize what it costs a true teacher of the word, when you recognize what they go through for a 15-minute, 20-minute, 30-minute presentation may take 30 hours of truth. Have I got any teachers in the house? It takes so much. And it, like, you know, people, they're amazed at what you get out of scripture, but what they don't know is what you put into the study to be able to pull that out of scripture. And so while they're blessed and they're going shouting on their way and all the rest of that, they never once say, well, Lord, let me just bless them. Because let me tell you one thing. All of my library, I will dare say, costs more than some people's cars and even some people's house, because I am always upgrading my library, upgrading my resources. And when I call them and tell them who I am and tell them I want this or order this and add that, they don't say, because you're the pastor of Greater King David, a great man of God teaching the word of God, we're going to give this to you free. And some books and some collections of books cost hundreds of dollars, hundreds of dollars. And all of that goes into what a teacher puts in to present to the people of God. And so it's literally saying, with all of that saying, is it too much for you to share your material things with somebody who is blessing you spiritually, when all of these material things will come to naught? They'll fade, they'll rot out, they will corrode, because they are not eternal. And somebody is giving you eternal truth and a word that's going to help you live the best life you can live in this life and prepare you for the next life. And is it too much for you to bless them when you are blessed? Look at what 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 says. Turn there if you will. Because it says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Listen at this. Let the elders that rule well, let the elders. Now, here there are many different types of elders. There is the business elders, which were called deacons. There are the apostle elders that Jesus appointed and lived after Jesus' time. Then there, here, in this part, references, when it says the elders, it's talking about the preaching elders and the bishops. Let them that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Now, there's a whole lot of breakdown on that word, and I want to get too deep into all of that. But here is the point. There were some preachers that only preach to you. And so they're worthy of honor. They're worthy of honor. They're worthy of, you know, the salaries or the monies that their ministries give to them. And then there are elders who preach the word and who teach the word. Now, the same thing that goes into teaching goes into preaching. However, the roles are somewhat different. Preaching challenges folk. Teaching changes folk. What a preacher can say, on the one hand, can be more surface, but it can be inspiring. It can be illuminating, and it can be that literally pulls at your spirit, man, and inspires you to want to come in. But in the preaching or the sermonic presentation, the platform is not laid for him to spend the time breaking down the word to the more in-depth degree, because he is in a rhythm of preaching, continuing in a movement of disseminating information. And so he has to almost, because his time is usually shorter than a teaching time, and it is a different format. So he has almost a rhythmic kind of setting that he has to present his word in. While teaching, you go back to Matthew 5:2, the Bible says, Jesus told them the high mountain, he had sat down, and he taught them there. The inference here is that he took his time, and he went in the word and expounded on the word. In other words, he broke the word down and ministered to them in a way that they could comprehend. Well, when you're preaching, you don't have time to make sure everybody got it. Any question? I'm going on. Come on with me. I'm getting ready to close, because I got to march on to the end. Well, so in other words, it's two different formats. One is I won't say surface, but one, because it still requires in-depth studying. It still requires searching the scriptures to see, you know, whether these things are present moment, days, promises that were meant for us today versus those of yesteryear, those who are yet to come, etc. It still means you've got to do your due diligence in preparation, but it's another level when it comes to teaching, because the object of teaching is to change the mindset. See, it is in the teaching frame where you're going in, and the desire of teaching is to change and rearrange the previous mindset, and bring it into harmony and juncture and alignment with what the scripture says and means. In other words, how many times have you thought this meant that until you learned the truth of the word? And then it changed how you felt about it. It changed how you operated in that thing, because that was the whole nature of teaching. It did its job. Preaching gets you there. Teaching changes you when you get there. And they are a tag team group, but not every pastor is equipped to do that. So it's important to recognize, Paul says, let the elder who is capable of doing both of those things be counted worthy of double honor. Then in the 18th verse, it says, for the scripture said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and a laborer is worthy of his reward. Now listen at this. Paul then goes on to use both the Old Testament reference found in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 4, and he references where the word comes that you should not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. In other words, the ox that is free to eat, especially, this is really referencing harvest time now, when he has already been used to plant the corn, he's been there used to cultivate the setting and all this. Now this is referring to harvest time.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-9